So here we are with Dr. Carol Queen at the 12th annual Masturbate-a-thon. Is this the 12th?
If we have done our math correctly, yes, it is. It seems like forever. It's fabulous.
So I think most people are wondering, what's a Masturbate-a-thon?
Well, that's easy. A Masturbate-a-thon is like a walk-a-thon, except you do it inside and not outside generally, unless you have a very high fence. And you,
right.
Your feet don't hurt at the end unless you masturbate in an unusual way, in which case I would like to interview you later because that's great, and we need to get that sexological information down for posterity. A Masturbate-a-thon is a charity event where people get pledges or can self-pledge. For every unit of time or other variation on masturbation, and get donations from the people that they have had pledged, and then remit them to the charity that's putting the Masturbate-a-thon on. In this case, us, the Center for Sex and Culture.
So tell me about some of the work that the Center for Sex and Culture does. I mean, you have a library of porn, you teach classes.
We actually have a library of way more than porn. We have a we don't even know how many thousands of volumes we have right now. It's somewhere between 7 and 12,000 volumes of everything from porn to academic work and pop culture work on sex. We've got all kinds of books and magazines and journals. A bunch of videos that aren't even out for people to utilize and look at yet. They're in storage because we are about to meet with a porn archivist specialist to get her opinion on things.
How wonderful. Thank you.
I know. Isn't that a good job
description? There's a Dewey Decimal system for maybe porn. I don't know.
I'm not totally clear. I'm not totally clear how you get your work when you're that specialist. But I love it that
get
she's
a degree
out there.
In it. Go ahead.
I love that. And we also have a gallery. One wall of our space is a gallery, so every first Friday in San Francisco, we have our gallery opening night with all of the other galleries. Ours is always sex-related in some way, sex or gender-related in some way, and not all the galleries are. And classes, workshops, cultural events, we've got a lit stage and all of that as well. So we try to do a little bit of everything, and we try to make it appeal to everybody as much as we can across the sex and gender spectrum. The only thing we don't do is invite people under 18 into the space for any reason. But we are a fiscal sponsor.
Not that there's anything wrong with educating young people. It's just that's not what you
that's
do.
That's not what we
you
do.
You leave that up to people like Scarlatine.
We are a fiscal
instance.
Sponsor of Scarlatine, as a matter of fact.
Oh, cool.
So people who want to donate to Scarlatine can actually do it. And we administer those donations for them and send them on off. And that's all online, of course. And so we don't have the Center for Sex and Culture's operations and Scarlatine's mixed up. But we're very proud to be able to do that so that people who are under 18 can get access to good sex education.
Because that's important, too.
That's very important.
Right. So let's describe the scene a little bit. There's a couple of different, curtained-off areas here at the Center for Sex and Culture. And there's a lot of people with erections here. And there's some murmured conversation that you can hear in the background. But there's also some, sighs. And I think that you have some erotic films playing in the background.
I believe so.
And people are vigorously and not so vigorously stroking their genitalia.
The people who are wanting to make their experience last as long as possible,
right?
Because they've been...
They're
going for the gold. They're going for their personal best or to break the record, which this year is 9 hours and 58 minutes. So at 9 hours and 59 minutes, we'll ring the bell, jump up and down, squeal a lot. It'll be just before 10 p.m., we will know whether the duration time record has been broken this year.
And there's a porn star going
there
for that
record? There is a porn star named Sonny Nash who's here and who has been here since before noon, and we wish him we wish him the best.
Now,
we
do you have to do, continuous stroking, or are there some rules and specifications?
Well, no. People get 5-minute breaks every hour. And
if you have to pee,
you jump up and you go pee.
Right. So
I gotta say, having masturbated a lot in my time, of course, one of the reasons that I'm one of the founders of the Live Masturbate-a-thon is because
you're a fan.
I'm not the only expert in masturbation by any means, and possibly I'm really only a solo expert on myself, but. I am in the Masturbation Hall of Fame. Everyone is
for their own self. They're I know what I like.
As long as they've gotten started with it to begin with, absolutely. And you can develop specialties, you can develop preferences, of course, and this is one of the things that
how
makes people like the Masturbate-a-thon is that some people like the option of being in a social other people around environment when they masturbate. They're
and that's
exhibitionistic
a fairly rare
to some degree.
Well, how do you find that?
We don't really know how rare it is because most places don't have any options for this to happen. I mean, we know that in particular men may find sort of public sex environments where a lot of times masturbation is pretty key and central to how people attract each other or just pleasure themselves in each other. But we also know that, say, in a heterosexual environment like a swingers club, there are women who find that exhibitionism is big fun, and sometimes that's masturbation focused. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't think anybody knows really how many people out there in the world are masturbating, showing off for their partner. Mm-hmm. We know some people do. Mm-hmm. We know some people are terrified at the idea. You know, there's probably a range of experience in between those two things. We recommend it highly, but a lot of people keep their masturbation secret from their partners. Right. And yeah, I don't know if any of those people are here today. Where were you today, honey? Well, I went out.
Well, I certainly have felt that way, you know, for my own, like, I want to show my partner what pleasures me, but I also feel mortified while I'm doing that.
Right.
So that also diminishes my sexual pleasure. So it's like, for me, going to events like these is such a nice challenge to open up my own sexuality and really investigate, okay, what does this feel like? And what is this like? And what is it around? What is it like to be around 30 guys with their penises out, with big bulging erections stroking them?
It's like this.
Yes, and I talked to Carol Queen, and it's really fun.
And, you know, we've mentioned guys and their erections, and you know, one of the fabulous things about guys and their erections is that it's relatively easy for them to figure out how, at least to rudimentarily, masturbate, because most of their arms reach about that far.
So isn't that amazing that we were designed that way?
It's not a universal experience, but it's pretty common.
Yeah.
So, among other things, socialization and such being what it is, it's often more common for more men to show up at things like the masturbate-a-thon. Women are a little less likely to go,
I want to masturbate in public.
Now, we have a women-only room that my understanding is there's a woman or two in right now. We have a men's-only room, which may get some action, because, of course, San Francisco has got a very, very robust men's only masturbation club already, the San Francisco Jacks. So we may get some Jacks here who don't want to mingle in a mixed environment, possibly. Mm-hmm. And we have an environment just for them, if so. But mostly people who come to the Masturbate-a-thon are hetero, bi, or pansexual in some way and are interested in and sometimes very actively interested in being in a mixed gender environment. And a little later today, I would expect we'll have a little more sort of women and couple.
Have you ever thought about calling it something else, like a self-pleasuring-a-thon? And would you understand why I would suggest that?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, I understand. Well, in the first place, it's probably easier to put it on Facebook and not.
You know, it's easier, and more people will know what you're talking about. If you say self-pleasuring-a-thon, people will be like, what? But then there's the history of masturbate, the word.
Well, of course, masturbate is not a sex-positive word in any way. I mean, we have
disturb with the hand.
We have taken it back, or to pollute with the hand, depending on which old dictionary you look
at. The etymology is not pretty.
Not so good. Now, you could say disturb and take the opprobrium out of the way you could think of that and go, you're moving stuff around. That's a form of disturbance, all right. But, you know, I think that one of the reasons that the Masturbate-a-thon has always existed, the reason the Masturbate-a-thon exists, is because of Good Vibrations National Masturbation Month, which was created. May is National Masturbation Month. Here we are. We're almost done. But people, there's still almost a week to masturbate. So you can, even if you've never masturbated before, you can get started now.
Right.
Please do.
Right now, while you're listening.
It's good for you. It's wonderful in so many ways. Good Vibrations was protesting the firing of Surgeon General Joycelyn Elders. And that happened in 1994.
Because she was fired for suggesting that maybe masturbation should be taught in school.
Perhaps it's something that should be taught, was, I believe, the direct quote that she used. And then all hell broke loose.
And it was a huge furor.
I can't believe she said that. And as I like to say, she was fired by a president who, as it came out later, possibly should have been spending more time masturbating himself.
Yes,
I don't know. Who knows? You could put it in those terms. And so every year, Good Vibes would add something to its National Masturbation Month festivities. And in about 1998, I think it was, the Masturbate-a-thon was the addition, and it wasn't a live event like this is. The Center for Sex and Culture made this a live event. It was a private in your room, like you always masturbate wherever you go.
Oh, do it by yourself.
To masturbate, you do it by yourself, but you ask your friends, the appropriate friends, to pledge.
That's
and
nice.
The whole point
Which
was
is
to
pretty
get
open for
people
to
talk about masturbation. And that was its role. And now I don't think we have a world that is quite so closed off about the topic of masturbation. There's been a lot of sexual discourse in public and pop culture and cable TV and here and there in the ensuing 15-plus years. But I've got to say, even now, even today, at the Center for Sex and Culture, where clearly we have a couple dozen or more people in the room right now who feel fine about masturbating in front of other people, most of those people self-pledged. Most of those people did not go around and ask other people... whether or
Would
not
you
they
like to sponsor
that's
me
right.
to play
that's
with my
right.
genitals
Florida
in
is,
public.
Florida Lee is in the other room, a blogger who reached out
yeah,
via
we'll
her blog, and there will be other people who will self-pledge and do their thing at home probably, and we'll hear from them later on that they participated. But mostly people are self-pledging, and that's just the way it is.
So there's a part of the history of the Masturbate-a-thon where you were on the radio in the morning with Shock Jocks.
Yes, yes, yes.
Tell me about that.
That's sort of our origin story in a way. At Good Vibes, it was my job to wake up at O Dark 30 and talk to whoever wanted to talk about whatever. And that was Shock Jocks. That was Drive Time Radio.
Right. Well, because they want to talk about sex.
And they don't have
so much information
the
about
Masturbate-a-thon was like red meat to those people.
Oh, I'm sure they were like, really?
And it
oh
is.
Oh, my God.
It kind of isn't anymore. It's like, oh, there's a Masturbate-a-thon in San Francisco every year. Whatever. You know, that's the 20th century. But I'll tell you what. When we started it, I was talking to everybody and their dog. And over and over again, they would say, I want to be the judge of that. Can I come out to San Francisco and be the judge? Can I be the judge?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, nobody showed up since we have a role that potentially they could judge.
Actually, because
no.
you
Have
do
they showed
like
up?
A
no.
distance competition and you do style.
Some years we do distance. I don't know if we're going to do distance this year because this is a smaller room than we have had access to before.
Right.
On the other hand, we'll see how it goes. You know, the day is young. but we will ask people to tell us who are going for the number of orgasms competition, how many times they came. We will see how long Sonny Nash keeps going to see if he breaks the almost 10-hour record. And we'll have an award for most money raised once we figure out, you know, who took pledges and so forth. So there's a whole infrastructure here that we would love the Shock Jocks to come and. But no, they have not shut up. Anyway, over and over and over again, though they said. And we're like, well, no, it's a private event. What do you think? We're getting the Cow Palace? No. That'd be fun. And so then finally,
awesome.
Robert and I looked at each other and said, you know, we could do a live event. Of course we could. You know, we used to do Queen of Heaven. We had a list of people who liked to come
and
to sex parties.
Queen of Heaven is a sex party,
Queen
right?
of Heaven was a sex party, that a safer sex party that Robert and I facilitated all through the 90s with the help of wonderful members of our community. So we knew we had a mailing list of people who wouldn't get freaked out if we sent them an invitation to this.
Right.
And that was how it all started. We had this list. We had this idea. We found a venue and went ahead. And I think it was 2001 that we did the first live one. And we just went from there. And I believe every year since then. Maybe there was 1 year when we didn't do it, but I'm pretty sure we did it every single year.
Right.
And it's a fabulous, fabulous thing. There's really nothing else like it, except that there are a few other live masturbate-a-thons in other places. Every once in a while, we hear from someone who just had to start one in their town, and then they invited a
really
few friends.
Really, what town?
Well, the one that really made us say, you know what, San Francisco needs to do this, we have to do this. The other part of our foundation story is that there was a live masturbate-a-thon in Salt Lake City, Utah before.
There
was
one
in San Francisco.
Awesome.
And of course now the Jacks have been here for ages and forever and all. I mean the Jacks have been here since 2000.
Like the Jack and Jill
19, yeah, 19,
right.
Yeah, but the All Men's Jacks has been here and doing their things in San Francisco since 1983. So it's not like there was no masturbation in San Francisco. Of course there was. But Salt Lake City, oh come on. We've got to catch up with Salt Lake City. It was the kinky people in Salt Lake City
good.
Who did it. And
cool.
there's got to be a special additional thrill to being kinky and masturbating in a group in Salt Lake City. There's just got to be a special frisson there.
Yeah.
So here we are, and we're doing our thing, but they're also doing their thing in Stockholm. There is a masturbate-a-thon like event, which doesn't have as much masturbation, in Portland. That also calls itself the Masturbate-a-thon, but it's more of a like a club event, a social gathering, fun stuff goes on, and people can masturbate if they want to. And when I attended, most people didn't, except me, of course. You know, gotta represent.
Yeah, totally.
And so that raises some money for charity too. And there is an email in my inbox right now from somebody in Australia who's like, let's do it. Let's get it started in Australia. So who knows? Tomorrow, the Antipodes.
Exciting.
Very.
Well, Carol, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
I always love talking to you, Monica, about just about anything.
I know.
It's very close to my heart. Yes. I hope you find some happy masturbators to interview today.
Oh, I think we're going to talk to Fleur. We're going to talk to Sister Taint a Virgin. We're going to talk to, well, let's see who we can get on the show.
Wonderful.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is sexploration.
Explore.
Play.
This is sexploration with Monica. Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica at sexplorationwithmonica.com.
And now the lovely creature that I'm standing next to is Sister Taint a Virgin of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
It was such a pleasure to see you. The first thing I came through the door, you know, it was enter in the rear at the Masturbate-a-thon.
Of course.
And I came around the corner. And there you were with your little butt cheeks out and your, I don't know what this is, a habit on your head? What is
it
happening
is,
here?
It is. The official term would be a wimple, but
wimple.
It is part of our habits, yes.
Right? Okay, so you guys have, if no one ever has seen the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which clearly they're not from San Francisco, if they haven't, but we do have listeners all around. Mm-hmm. So you guys wear white face makeup and you do all sorts of sexually gender bending gy kind of fabulous events, and you wear lots of glitter and
absolutely
eyelashes. Absolutely. And what's some of the work that you do as a sister?
Totally. So as a sister, we take vows to the community to promulgate universal joy and expiate stigmatic guilt. So each individual sister kind of emulates that in their own unique
right.
way. And so me personally, my kind of vows to the community are around sex positivity. And so I think the Masturbate-a-thon is the excellent opportunity to kind of promulgate the idea of universal joy around sex positivity.
Yay, we all have genitals!
Yay!
Right. No, and of course the Masturbate-a-thon is all about, you know, self-pleasuring and being open about it. I mean, you're even needing to ask your coworkers or your friends for pledges. I mean,
totally.
It's a very, I mean, it's almost one of those words it used to be that you couldn't even say masturbate.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? You'd just be touching yourself down there.
Yeah, dangerous stuff.
I know.
As a sister, I chose the name Sister Taint because of kind of wanting people to feel comfortable using the word taint in a variety of contexts.
Right.
And it definitely has the double entendre for sure. But it was also giving people permission to be like, hey, Sister Taint, I can say taint. And, you know, feel comfortable with that. So
totally.
I think masturbation is another one of those words that, you know, thankfully the month of May is Masturbation Month, and it's a great opportunity to speak and talk about it in a variety of ways. In my secular life, I work at a gay men's health clinic, and it was kind of quite fun talking with clients and individuals, helping to promote the events and promote just understanding of sex positivity and sexual pleasure, personal pleasure.
Well, that's one of the things that I think sometimes gets lost when we think about health clinics and reproductive care. We don't actually think about pleasure.
Right.
You know?
Right. And
oh,
that's
God,
such a key aspect.
Of your genitals.
Totally.
It's okay to enjoy them. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Tell me about your work at the health clinic. Which one is it? Unless, of course, you mind my asking.
I believe I should leave the name out
of
it.
Okay, that's fine.
Just because.
But you do testing and counseling and outreach?
Correct. I actually help individuals who are just testing positive, primarily for HIV. But also for other things such as syphilis. And I work with them to kind of get them linked to care, make sure they have social support, kind of doing immediate case management And then the most important aspect would be partner services. So helping them out in disclosing, notifying, talking with partners.
Because that's got to be really difficult. Telling the people in your life that you're testing positive.
Totally. And I'd say that in general, just any form of communication around sexuality can be difficult. As case in point with masturbation.
Right.
And so talking about, you know, after recently seroconverting or testing positive for any other of the STIs can be very difficult and troubling thing for individuals. Mm. So we try to be as supportive as we can, as well as being sex positive, and really trying to encourage them to continue to have a happy, healthy, and enjoyable sex life and not let this kind of be a death knell to their sexual pleasure.
Right. Yeah, because it doesn't mean it's the end of your sex life if you have an STI.
Not at all.
And I've had people ask me that. You know, they're like, oh, I tested positive for herpes. I'm never going to have sex again. No one's ever going to. And you're like, no. I mean, of course, it can be daunting to tell people and have that conversation.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it gets easier.
It does. It does. And I'd say, you know, what I really encourage clients that I work with is that you have the power to tell anyone you want. And it's when you decide you want to tell them, you can. You know, always we're going to kind of encourage various forms of communication. But really, they're the ones who are holding the power. And once they kind of conceptualize that, I think kind of it gets easier for them to understand, you know, there's some people in my life that I don't need to tell that information to. And other people in my life that I do. And, you know, after you've done the first one, they tend to get easier. You know, it's always going to be an individual basis. But that is life.
I mean, I think always, you know, like if you have to tell your family or, you know, telling a new partner, those are always big hurdles for people.
Definitely.
I bet. Well, thank you so much.
You're
Sister
very
Taint
welcome.
A Virgin. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our 82 countries around the world? Just curious about sex positivity in San Francisco.
Well, I would say that if you're interested in learning more about the sisters, you can go to our main website, which is the sisters with an S at the end, .org. And that's the San Francisco branch, which is the mother house.
And there's Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence around the country?
Around the world, actually. We've been around for
Good.
33 years, and we're now international.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for spreading joy and
You're very welcome.
Diminishing shame. That's awesome. What a great mission.
Totally.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
That's how the Center for Sex found me.
Ah, cool.
And a librarian.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. That's great. So now I'm sitting next to Library Vixen, and we're here in the public room, and it's kind of fun because these guys really like to be watched, some of them. They really dig that there's girls in here, like, hanging out watching them masturbate.
Absolutely. They want more girls in here.
Yeah. Totally. They're like, why are the girls in the girls only room?
Exactly.
That's not fair. Yeah, but there's some good stuff happening in the girls only room as well. Fleur DeLis, San Francisco's sluttiest blogger, is currently experiencing some good stuff in the women only room, and hopefully we will get to talk to her later when she is done. No pressure. Don't try to hurry yourself or anything. But you are volunteering here at the Center for Sex and Culture, and you're a sex writer.
I'm a sex writer, blogger, photographer, and I am the librarian here at the Center for Sex. And I've been here for about a year.
You guys curate a lot of different stuff, not just porn. So you have also, like, academic articles about sex.
Absolutely. We have over 3,000 print material books and a huge periodical collection, journals, dissertations, an archive that's amazingly huge and just beginning to get developed.
And actually, many of the walls here at the Center for Sex and Culture are covered in books and magazines and binders. And when Borders went out of business, you got all their bookshelves.
Absolutely. We swooped in on that, and it was a good old-fashioned, almost like barn-raising in here. We got these out of Borders one night. The next day, put them up, unloaded the boxes, and have our library.
So why do you donate your time to the Center for Sex and Culture? What is the meaningful part of the work here for you?
It's interesting. I came in, they found me as a sex writer, but now it's kind of switched gears to being less about sex and more about organization and cataloging and getting the information out there rather than, so almost like the sex comes out of it a little bit. For me.
I know, isn't that funny?
Yes.
Like the more you get involved in sex and sexuality and sex activism and sex education.
Becomes a little less sexy.
Yes, you're not having sex at sex parties anymore. You're doing stuff.
Right.
Which organizing.
Is great because they right. need organization.
Needs to be done. Needs mm-hmm. to be done. Yeah, but it's interesting, isn't it?
It's fantastic. It's fascinating. We have such an amazing collection, and every day I come in, I photograph what we have, and we're kind of doing a grassroots social media digitization. You can see a lot of our stuff online, a lot of our rare sexology. We have sexology from 1930s on. Hmm. So we can
tell me more about that. What does that look like?
They're mini format, kind of, and produced by doctors. And the collection it's just immense how many we have. We're actually looking to reaccession some of the stuff and sell out some of the stuff and trade for other publications.
Like if you have a duplicate or something.
Absolutely. Duplicates are always, we have a online Libra store. People can find us there. And all really great titles, amazing titles online. Mm. Otherwise, when we come across duplicates, we donate to the San Francisco Friends of the Public Library. Mm. So it's kind of I love that we stay local and help our main libraries too.
Hmm. It's amazing that the public library would be so open to a collaboration with the Center for Sex and Culture, because many libraries, at least in other parts of the country, are banning sexual materials.
Oh no, not San Francisco. We are champions there. I happen to work at the San Francisco Public Library too. Mm-hmm. So I'm so proud of our library. We accept no federal funding, so we're free to do anything we want. We champion freedom of expression, freedom of intellectual property, mm-hmm. censorship, no way.
Cool. You know? What do you think are the important issues in sexuality right now?
For me, as a librarian, it's curating and preserving what's mm-hmm. happening and what has happened to get to where we are now. Mm. So that's my biggest goal.
Because there's a lot of the history of sexuality that we're not talking about, because I mean it's almost as if every generation has to reinvent a sex positive scene because you don't hear about it from your parents so much.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I mean, I think there's been sex positive scenes forever and we just keep trying to reinvent the same thing.
So it would be nice to have a history to build on so we could be like, okay, this works, okay, this does not work.
Yeah, I saw these great stag films, and it was amazing to see the lady. These are from like 1920. The lady was douching, she was cleaning her mate, she was, you know, it was really sex positive for a stag film.
Interesting.
So that kind of thing, it needs to be accessible to people.
So why would you put douching in the category of sex positivity? Because for
it
me,
it wasn't really like in douching. It was more just like a natural cleaning each other before and after sex.
Oh, so it was like a sweet, intimate
really
cleaning thing.
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
Because you know, sometimes douche, they're like, oh, your vagina's smelly. You better clean it. You know what I mean? Because douching's kind of
it's gross,
right?
Self-cleaning really ovens,
right? Exactly. The vagina is a self-cleaning oven. You don't actually need to do anything to maintain it. I don't know if you know that, but many people think the vagina is dirty. It's not. It's lovely.
It is.
And someone next to us said it tastes good. I don't know if you heard that. Well, so we have listeners all around the world, and I think that, you know, most people don't talk about sex, which is why, you know, why we do the show, right?
You're right.
So what do you think, if you had anything to say to people who are, you know, in less sex positive communities, what would that be?
Well, let's see. For me, I'm really so proud and hopeful for the future of children, really, because, I mean, I have a son myself, and I'm so happy he's going to be raised in a different sexual environment that's open, mm-hmm. accessible,
no shame,
tolerant of everything. And I feel so happy for him that he's not going to be raised in some kind of shame about what he enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
So just try to understand people, really.
Mm-hmm.
In all forms.
Right. So Library Vixen is on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Library Vixen, LBRYVXN, and at librarycom.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
So now we are laying on the velvety pillows here in the women's only room. And I am laying next to Fleur de Lis, SF, San Francisco's sluttiest blogger, Vanessa Pinto.
Hello.
So you are just basking in a cloud of oxytocin right now.
I still am basking in a cloud of oxytocin right now.
You are here with Lady Ripley.
I am here with Lady Ripley. She is here as my fluffer slash helper.
Helper to help you masturbate.
She's a humanitarian.
She's helping you.
She's
with your
a giver.
Charity event.
So yes. She came to help me so that I would stay here longer because there's a few people that pledged me for the masturbate-a-thon. And so I figured if Ripley came, I'd stay longer.
No, it's true. And you guys were up to some good things here.
Very good things. Good things were happening.
Yes. In fact, while I was interviewing Sister Taint a Virgin, you were a little bit of nice backdrop.
Oh, yeah.
What's you're
that?
Playing with the Hitachi?
You know, the Hitachi magic wand is just such a lovely friend of mine.
And you got it specifically for this event.
I got it specifically for this event, but it is actually my favorite vibrator to use, bar none, regardless of the masturbator-thon or not. It makes my teeth rattle. I like it.
And in fact, can I share a little bit of personal stuff about you?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, right. Why not, right? So as she's being pleasured with the Hitachi by Lady Ripley, she's laying here on the ground, legs spread, face back in ecstasy, and like, oh, God, and oh, God. And so, and you were even asking for it to be turned down because
right.
it's so intense, the Hitachi.
There's low and high, and so I usually start with low and then work your way up to high, but at this point, I just
be really oversensitized.
Well, she's also very good at what she does.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, she was so fun. She's over there. She's like, this is her thing. And so she does this thing where she like kind of rolls it, like changes the angle of the roundy bit on the end.
Right.
And what does that feel like?
Really, really good.
It feels like, oh, God.
That's when that high-pitched scream and that uncontrollable body jerk happens.
And right, and you
go blind
ankle,
for
yes.
just a moment.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And angels sing, you know, the seas part.
Right, yes.
All of that happens.
Good stuff.
That's the great thing about masturbation.
Yeah, is that there's so many ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can invite your friends.
Yes, you can invite your friends. And, you know, it's safe. It's
yeah.
very
no,
safe
it's totally
sex.
The safest sex.
And we even put a condom on the Hitachi just in cases.
Right.
So, you know, there's that.
Yes.
But this is a good cause. I mean, mainly I'm here masturbating in public because it's for the Center for Sex and Culture, and they do amazing things for our sex-positive community with education, with different programs, with bringing people to San Francisco that have a lot to offer. So really anything for them, I'll do.
I sat in some lube.
You sat in some lube?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Right on someone's little, you know those little lube, those little plastic tiny lube like pillows?
But it was new lube? It wasn't old lube?
It was
lube.
Totally new lube.
Okay, at least it was new lube. Because
but now I have my butt is moist.
Do you have other pants
no,
in your car?
I have to be on the radio tonight. In lubey pants.
That sucks. I don't know what to tell you. That's
it's
going to
be
awful.
All like sticky.
I may be able to help you. I may have an extra pair of pants in my bag.
It's all right. Thank you, though. I'm all like interviewing Library Vixen, and then I stand up and I'm like, wait a minute. A little bit cooler and moister back there than I expected. Damn it. Of course I would be the one to sit in the lube.
Right. Yes, so.
You've got some sexy things going on.
I do have some sexy things going on.
The circus.
The circus is coming up doing my next sexy circus September 20th at the Supper Club. And this year I'm bringing even more of our sex positive community on display. We're going to have people like
Nina Hartley.
Nina Hartley.
And Jiz Lee.
Jiz Lee.
Reed Mihalko.
Reed Mihalko. You will be there.
Yes.
Just Morgan will be there. Carol
yes.
Queen will be there. Mm-hmm. Dixie De La Tour.
Maggie Mayhem. Ned Mayhem.
Jamie DeWolf.
Mm.
All sorts of people will be coming out for the circus. We're going to be having the Porn Clown Posse as a present.
Rain de Gray.
Thora Violet, Ripley will also be in it, electrocuting Miss Rabbit again. There's going to just be an array of everything sexy from BDSM to storytelling to education to a live sex show, which is what Nina and Jiz will be doing for us. And Nina Hartley is being gracious enough to allow herself to be auctioned off for the Center for Sex and Culture.
Get out.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Like a date
with
Nina Hartley?
Well, it's a makeout session with Nina Hartley. So you get to make out with her and whatever, you know, she negotiates with you.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the proceeds for that will be divided between the Center for Sex and Culture, and Solace SF.
Cool. Are you also auctioning off another porn star?
You know, that's debatable. Right now, there was one person that was going to do it, and now we're not sure. So, for sure, we have Miss Hartley.
Cool. And if you're interested in being auctioning off, just
yes,
contact
if you
her.
Are, if you are interested in being auctioned off for charity, please contact me. I would love, love, love. And also, if you are a sexy tango dancer or you give sexy tango lessons, get in contact with me. I'm looking to do something. But beyond that, you can always find out about me on my website, floridalysf.com, San Francisco's sluttiest blogger. I also blog for the Huffington Post and SF Weekly. So
you are working on a very exciting story right now as well. Can we talk about that?
Sure. You know, I'm doing a piece on prostitution, and I'm looking at all angles of it. And so I started by doing a walk around with Solace SF on their cupcake dropping off night, where they visit the strip clubs and see how the girls are doing. And it kind of started me on this journey of talking with people who are sex workers who have pimps, and also to talk to pimps, to talk to madams, to talk to people who specialize in helping girls who've been trafficked get out of trafficking situations. Mm-hmm. So while there are a lot of empowered and people who do sex work who have lovely lives, there are also unfortunately some people who do it and don't have an option, and you know, it's
they
a whole
are
different.
Trapped in sex work.
They
and
are
they
trapped.
Want to get out, right?
Exactly.
And we want to make sure that those are not the people that are doing sex work.
Right, exactly. And also it's just to give a spectrum of everything that goes on. And
right,
I feel
not
that...
not just to only say right, that there's only sex-positive sex work going
I
on.
I feel that it would, you know, be... I would be doing the world a disservice by right, just providing one perspective. So
right,
there have been some people that have agreed to talk to me that don't ever talk to anyone.
Like and pimps,
like
for
pimps,
example.
Yes, there are some pimps that
whoa,
have...
Oh, I'm so excited about that.
...that have agreed to speak with me, and we will talk about how that life came about for them and what
yeah,
that means.
How did you get into pimping?
You know, how did that work out?
You went to pimp university?
Yeah, I mean, everyone has a story, and I think that people make choices that they make for whatever reasons, and our job is not to judge, but my job is just really, I like to understand, and
right,
I like to know why people do the things they do.
Totally. Totally. Well, I'm so excited about all this stuff you've got going on.
Yes, thank you.
I'm so excited about the rest of your day today here at the Masturbate-a-thon.
Yay!
Raising money for charity.
Yes, and you should talk to Lady Ripley, too.
I will.
She's here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So here we are with the beautiful dominatrix, Lady Ripley. And I wanted to talk to you about the electrocution scene that you did at the Sexy Circus last year.
Yes.
So you are a dominatrix, and so you hurt people for their pleasure.
And mine.
And yours. And the interesting thing about that, I mean, because many people don't really understand, like, how could someone want to be hurt?
Mm-hmm.
And how could you enjoy hurting someone?
Yes.
And I think there's this one girl who was watching the scene with you and Rabbit, where,
mm-hmm,
so she was electrocuting Jessica Rabbit. And Jessica Rabbit was, you know, so cute, and she's going, oh, and oh, and sometimes she's smiling, but sometimes she's grimacing because it's painful, and you could tell that it's definitely painful. And I just wanted to talk about, like, her experience of being electrocuted,
mm-hmm,
and what it's like for her, and you've been playing with her for a long time.
For a little while, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But like multiple occasions.
Yes.
Like she comes back for more.
Oh, yes.
She knows what it's like and does
yes,
it on purpose.
Yes, she even brings her own cattle prod.
Cattle prods are intense. Like that's mm-hmm, that's more than a violent wand.
That's much more.
So there's, let's talk a little bit about the steps in electrical play. Because
mm-hmm,
there's like the violet wand, which is like... a little bit of zappy, zorchy, especially if you're doing it with a hand, you
mm-hmm,
know what I mean? And then there's directly violet wand, which mm-hmm, is like zap, 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 and kind of painful. What does a cattle prod feel like?
Pretty much like knocks your muscle out, so basically you almost fall down if you actually get it full, but we usually use some slightly drained battery, so it's not so bad.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, it's not
nice,
so bad. But yeah, it feels
but
like
so
it
knocks
hurts
you out, and it
well,
really hurts.
It'll knock muscle.
So what feels good about that? Can you describe it?
Well, if you like severe pain, it feels really good. Right. If you don't like severe pain, then probably not so much.
So what's the good thing about severe pain for those that do like severe pain?
Probably building up a tolerance. I mean, something that you like to do, and then you can actually build up a tolerance so that whoever it is that... I'm being distracted, by the way.
Yes, I can tell. It's awesome.
hard to concentrate. Yeah. So building up tolerance for pain for somebody, mm-hmm. I think, can be really exciting for some people.
Right. And so they can take more and more and more, and then they can test themselves and be like, whoa, that was a lot. What was that like? And you get all these endorphins.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. The more extreme pain, the more endorphins.
Right. So Lady Ripley's kind of, we're here in the women's only masturbation room at the, and she's kind of rocking gently back and forth. And I actually don't know what is happening to her because I'm also laying on the floor just kind of staring at the ceiling here. She's kind of got a smile on her face and she's kind of rocking back and forth. So anyway, I just want to thank you for talking to me here today. And I'm looking forward to your scene at the Sexy Circus.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. It should be much more fun than last year because I'm going to have some accomplices.
Even more fun. Mm-hmm. And last year was pretty fun. And Rabbit was smiling and grimacing and smiling and grimacing. And now she's doing it again. So
more rabbit, less clothing.
Woo! Yay! Everybody wins.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Lady Ripley.
Thank you.
Well, sex is definitely in the air here at the Center for Sex and Culture. It's the Masturbate-a-thon, and as people are stroking themselves and laying on cushions and on the pews, there's Jiz and Nina on the big screen, and they're all smiles and giggles and lubrication and a Hitachi. It's interesting being in a room full of people that are masturbating and just kind of, you know, hanging out. Watching some sexual films and playing with themselves. It's interesting. It's different. So if you'd like to make a donation to the Center for Sex and Culture's Masturbate-a-thon, you can find them at sexandculture.org. They have a Tumblr account. They're on Twitter. And you can also make donations in person. They're on Mission Street in San Francisco. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks for joining us at the Masturbate-a-thon. This is Sexploration with Monica. You can always subscribe on iTunes and TuneIn Radio also. And you can always download free episodes at sexplorationwithmonica.com.